You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Ultimate Gift Giver by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Ephesians 4 and verse 8, it says, "Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captives." Here's the verse I want, here's the part I want you to focus on. "And he gave gifts unto men." Jesus, he ascended up on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Then turn towards the back about 3, 4, 5 books to James, the first chapter, and verse 17. And James reminds us this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So here James refers to God the Father, gives him another title that he uses distinctly as the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amplify that verse says, every good gift and every perfect, free, large, full gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light in the shining of whom there can be no variation, rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning as in an eclipse. And I want to start a series today that I'll be coming back to over the next couple of weeks entitled The Ultimate Gift Giver. The Ultimate Gift Giver. This is the time during the Christmas season that everyone starts thinking about gifts. Many people, unfortunately, are going to go into debt, buying gifts with money you don't have to give them something they don't want for somebody you don't like. And we just get caught up in the season of, and people give gifts out of obligation. People give gifts because somebody gave them a gift. My mother was the ultimate Christmas gift giver because she used to buy things and we just always had a bunch of extra gifts at our house. Anybody that stopped by, she had a Christmas gift for them. And it just made people feel so, people be shocked. Then what's the first person said? I didn't get you anything. Because when people give gifts, you feel an obligation to give them something. But we're not talking about a gift exchange here. We're talking about just the love of God who just gives because he just wants to give. Giving is his nature. You cannot love without giving. Amen. As a matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I believe around the 8th chapter, he says that giving proves the sincerity of your love. So if you say that you love something, anything, and not want to give to it, then your love is questionable because giving proves the sincerity of your love. As a matter of fact, God could not help but give us the ultimate gift, which was Jesus Christ. Why? Because John 3:16 says, because he loved us. Because God so loved us. That's why he did it. It was love that motivated the gift. Now you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And let me say that again. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And because God is love, he is the ultimate gift giver. God the Father is the ultimate gift giver. And he gives because he loves his children. It is that simple. God gives us gifts because he loves his children. He doesn't give to try to impress. You know, some people want to give a gift that they can impress to show what they were able to buy or what they're able to go in debt for, willing to go in debt for. God doesn't have to impress anybody. You all realize that? God never does anything to impress anybody. We could just understand that. We do so many things just to impress people. I think if you wear clothes, you ought to wear them because you think it looks good. You may be deceived, but at least you think it looked good. You know what I'm saying? You know, to me, even if somebody looked crazy, I admire the confidence. You know, I mean, a man with no job and no car and no teeth. But he got the confidence to say, yo, baby, don't you want to know my name? You got to admire the confidence. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I think when you dress, you ought to dress because you like it. Not just because you're trying to impress somebody. Not because you're trying to get somebody to look at you. And God does nothing to impress. God does because he is. He doesn't ask anybody. He doesn't try to get anybody's approval. He's not trying to impress anybody. And he loves to give good gifts to his children. Luke the 12th chapter, verse 32. Let's start this walk through the scriptures here. Luke 12, 32 is looking at God as the ultimate gift giver. He says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. And in the context, he's talking about worrying about how you're going to make it, how you're going to eat, how you're going to live, what you're going to do. He says, chill out. Y'all stop sweating the small stuff, because with God, it's all small, small stuff, because he's a big, big, big God. And so God tells us, he says, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you. He says, stop. Don't worry about seeking and worrying about the thing that the people who don't know God worries about. He said, you are his flock. And as his flock, you don't have to fear. Kind of like David said, the Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no, because he's my shepherd. And Jesus is basically using that same theme. He's saying, you are God's flock. You are his flock. He's your shepherd. And because you're his flock and he's your shepherd, it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom refers to everything that he has available at his disposal. He will give it to you. Somebody say, God loves me like that. It's the Father. The Amplified says, do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Don't be seized with alarm or struck with fear. No matter what happens to you, don't be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Nothing happens to you that God didn't already know about. Nothing happens to you. The Bible says there's no temptation, test, or trial that you can go through that is not just in common with being a human being on this earth and being in the kingdom of God. He said, but here's the good news. Remember this, that with every temptation, God's already made a way of escape that you can bear up under it, that you can make it through it. So you got to understand, this will not take me out. This sickness will not kill me. This sickness is not unto death. No, you will not drive me crazy. I refuse to go. Will you look somebody and say, I refuse to go crazy. I refuse. That's why when you see somebody going crazy, just let them go on. You go on. I ain't going with you. I see you. If you return, I'll be right here, but I ain't going crazy with you. Don't let your kids drive you crazy. Come on now. Don't let this world drive you crazy. All kinds of things are happening. And they're showing division and showing that justice may not be for all and all this. But you can't let this world drive you crazy. You got to know you're on the winning side. You got to know that you walk under, you dwell in the secret place. You abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You got to know that no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. You got to know my seed is going to be all right. They are covered by the blood of Jesus. I declare a hedge of protection over me and all my stuff. Somebody say, me and all my stuff. Hallelujah. Fear not, little flock. Don't you be seized with alarm. Your Father is your shepherd, and he is the ultimate gift giver. He said, is your Father good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Not for you to work for the kingdom. Not that you got to earn the kingdom. When it says his good pleasure, it pleases God to bless you. It pleases God to bless me. It may aggravate you for him to bless me. But that ain't the issue. It pleases God to bless me.
The Bible said he that cometh to God must first of all know that he is, and he's a what? A rewarder. Reward is just another big word for a giver. He's a giver to those that diligently seek him. God wants me to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be abundantly supplied. God wants you to have shalom, the peace of God. Peace means wholeness. Glory to God. Wholeness. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Nothing lacking in no area of your life. Those who fear the Lord, the Bible said, will not want or lack any good thing. Now, man, I said this morning. If you could ever really get a revelation of the love of God, you will never worry about provision. I said, if you could ever get a real revelation of the love of God, you will never worry about provision. Do you realize, I just thought about this. You realize you got to teach kids fear. You got to, especially when it comes like things like fear of lack, because all the children know, even from day one, is that provision is there. From that mother, first time home, he go looking for provision somewhere around here. When they're crying out, they're like, come on, just bring it here. Bring it on. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you know that God loves you, God loves you, you have provision. I told y'all a couple of hands. It just reminded me because we saw a little girl yesterday. We were in a restaurant or in the mall somewhere. And a little girl walking around with her Cinderella dress on, walking through the mall. She's about 4 years old. And her mama was with her. And she's walking, little girl walking around looking like she at Disney World. And that girl mom wasn't getting her out the house without that dress on. That's just how it is. Okay. My granddaughter said to me a couple of years ago, I guess she's five now, she's about three at the time, I think. And I was sitting there at the table on my computer, and she laughed about it now because I remind her about it. And she said to me, can you pull up a Cinderella dress on that? Can you get a Cinderella dress on that pewter? I told her that the other day. She said, computer. I said, you didn't know computer then. You just said pewter. She said, can you get a Cinderella dress on that pewter? And so I just Googled Cinderella dress. She said, there it is. That's it right there. Can you send that to my house? And I just looked and saw where I ordered it. And I sent it to her house. I said, it'll be there in about 3 to 5 days, honey. She has something in her mind and just asked Papa for it. And she wasn't thinking, maybe I don't qualify. She wasn't worried about whether I have it or not. All she knows is that I'm in relationship with her and I give her good things. Come on now. If you get a revelation that the Father loves you and he gives you good things, you won't fear lacking anything. Because he's the ultimate gift giver. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you. Not for you to sweat. Not for you to worry. Look at Genesis 2nd chapter. When God created man. See, we worry about spoiling our kids and all that. God don't have that concept. You know. And by the way, not I realize. I'm going to help this. It's only folks who don't have and lack who always got that in mind. People have that. The Kennedys, they weren't worried about spoiling those kids. When folks have money, they send them all around. They give them what they need. They ain't worried about spoiling them. Some of us, that's just excuse to be cheap. Oh, y'all don't like me now. When God created man, he would, in our estimation, he spoiled them. Well, then I learned to work for it. Okay, look at this here. And verse, on the sixth day, God created man,
right?
After he created everything else. Look at verse 7, Genesis 2. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, which really means another speaking spirit like God. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put man whom he had formed. Who did the planting? Come on, who did the planting? So God put the garden in there. He planted the garden. Then he put man in there. Now, it seemed like he could have said, planted, gave man, said, now here's some seed, go make a garden. No, he spoiled them. He made the garden. Then he put man. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. God made the tree grow. Man didn't have to worry about how to come up with a formula to make it grow. God made the tree grow, everything that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of God. The tree of life was the tree that man would go to for healing and generation and regeneration. So long as he was in the, had access to the tree of life, he would never die. That's why when we get saved, we refer to that again as now we're taking part of the tree of life, partake of the tree of life. And Proverbs says wisdom is the tree of life. Cause you to live and make good decisions that you'll have a long life. And so he put the tree of life in the midst of God, the tree of life also in the middle of God, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which he wasn't supposed to eat of. And look, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Look at that. God gave him an irrigation system. He didn't have to plant it. He didn't have to go get no pipe. He didn't have to dig from the river. God worked that out. A river went out to water the garden. And then it was parted and became into four heads. And so God created the irrigation system to take care of all the watering in the garden. Verse 10, and the river went out of Eden to water the garden. It went to four heads. Verse 11, the name of the first is Pison. That is, it which encompasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is what? Gold. So now we got gold in the garden. And the gold of that land is good. The gold of that land is good. The gold of that land is what? Good. Will you tell somebody, say, the gold of my land is good. Gold of land. So when you get saved, you need to understand that what God's doing when he's saving you is trying to put you back in the garden. And you got to know and declare and believe the gold in this land is good. The gold in this land is good. I don't fear because the gold in this land is good. I'm preaching better than y'all respond. That's all right. He said, and there's bedlam and onyx stones in the land. In other words, there's pearls is believed and onyx stones are there. All types of jewelry, all types of resources, all types of valuable things. It was there. The name of the second river is Gihon. The same is at the common of the whole land of Ethiopia. And so God puts him, and then verse 15, and the Lord God took man and put him in the garden with all the provision already there. He put him in the garden with all the provision already there. He put him in the garden with all the provision already there. Do y'all remember that when God told them they were going to the promised land, he said, when you get to the promised land, understand, I'm going to give you a house that you didn't have to build. When you get to the promised land, I'm going to furnish your house with all kinds of stuff that you didn't have to buy. Because when you understand and really come into this position of faith, the Bible says that we rest. And the rest for the believer is to believe God. When we believe, we enter into that place of rest where the Bible said we cease from our labors because Adam didn't have to sweat. Now, after sin came, what did God tell Adam? He said, now, the only way you're going to make a living, I'm going to put you out of the garden because the garden, everything was there. Verse 15, he tells him, the Lord took man and put him God to dress it and keep it. He said, God said, now, it's all nice. Just keep it looking nice. That's like giving somebody a car, brand new car. Say, just wash the car every now and then. Take the McDonald's bag out the back seat at least once a month. Get the French fries from between the console in the middle and your seat. Get the French fries up out of there. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Get the chickens out the house. I'm talking some country, some country folk down. Get the kitchen. Fix the screen door. Notice the roaches. Don't get used to them and just like they live here too. Y'all have been people that don't mean to harm you because I've been people that, you know, I mean, a roach bothers me. I mean, I mean, everything got to come to a stop. All right, we going in. No, you where you at? Roach, you going to die tonight. I ain't going to sleep with you in here. Some people think roaches like air. Yeah, be there in the morning, be there at night. God just God made everything nice for him and said, just dress it and keep it. God is the ultimate giver. It was sin that cut man off from provision. What did sin do? It cut man off from provision. He's banned from the garden. And God said, now, because you're no longer in the garden, now you're going to have to earn by the sweat of your brow. I work hard for my money, so hard for it, honey. Work hard for my money, so you gotta treat me right, whatever. Okay. Working 9 to 5. I've been working on the railroad, or whatever. See, all that is not what God intended for us. I'm not saying God don't want you to work. I'm saying God don't want you to sweat. When I'm talking about sweating, I'm talking about doing something you can't stand for somebody you don't like at a place you don't want to be. Somebody say, that's sweating. That's sweating. I told you, I heard somebody, Pastor Don, one time say, sweating like a sinner. Why are we sweating like a sinner? Just sweating like a sinner. You are not a sinner. You have been brought unto Mount Zion. God has brought you into the promised land. It's a place that flows with, it's a place that flows with milk and honey. It's a place that what? That flows with milk and honey. And remember, they brought back the grapes and said, there's great provision in this land. You got to know that God is the ultimate gift giver, because when he saved you, he brought you back to Eden. But you can only live in Eden by faith. Come on now. Can somebody say, I live in Eden? Everything I need is there. It's supposed to flow to me. Flow to me. And that's how the song goes. Flow to you. Oh, it's supposed to flow to me too. Everybody say provision is supposed to flow to me. Okay. Sister Father, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus wanted us to see his Father as the ultimate gift giver. Go to Matthew 7. In the same context, he's telling us to have confidence when we pray. Confidence when we ask God for things. Matthew 7, starting in verse 9. He said, if you can understand how you are, then you will understand how much better God is. He said, if you understand how you are, how you love your children, you understand them, that you begin to understand how much God loves his children. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Or what man is there of you? Which man is there, a man out there, whom if his son asks bread, he'll give him a stone? What do you think they answered? No. He said, is there one of you out there, if your son asks you for a fish, you'll give him a serpent or a snake instead? What's the answer? No, we ain't going to do that. That's our child. He said, if then you being evil, if you being natural, if you being wishy-washy, if you being inconsistent, if you being moody, if you being, I was flipping through the channels the other night. Y'all know NBC owns It's a Wonderful Life now. And remember, we used to watch, you used to see it any time during the Christmas season. Now, come on, one time. They like, this is it. Okay. I was flipping through the channels. My son walked in. Tyler walked in. He said, what's that? He said, what's that? I said, I can't begin to explain it to you, son. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. I said, I tried to get you watching when you're all young. But, you know, kids, they look black and white. They're like, what is that?
As you get ready to receive and share presents this Christmas, let's not forget the greatest gift of all. God gave us the best gift we could ever receive, his son Jesus. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains why God is the ultimate gift giver. order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for the ultimate gift giver. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.